I would, as always, ask that you continue to pray this morning. Just so many things, but that God would bless us, and that Lord would bless me to rein in my thoughts, and that He'd perform another miracle, and we'd hear the gospel preached this morning. I've never been one, a minister that specifically preaches on current events. But there are some times when it's needful to teach something and so forth in the preaching of the gospel and all. But and really even today, you know, last Sunday I tried to preach on godly contentment and satisfaction, not having a clue that Mark had preached on contentment the Sunday before that. But that's just what was placed on my heart to preach upon. And yet it's and looking at today as looking at every day in the existence of this earth, that's a good thing to be reminded of, and how to be content and satisfied. Godly is the key word there. And then even today, I don't know at what point this subject came to my mind, but it really was not, I don't even remember what I saw or thought of, but it was nothing that happened to me or that I saw on the news or anything during the week. It came to me, and so I just continued to follow it, praying that if it wasn't to be preached on, that God would guide me in another direction. But it always, almost always ends up being something that I need so deeply to be reminded of. And yet it points out my failings. I did fine sitting down there on the pew. Please pray. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter. And the this may be a short sermon. 58th verse, the last verse in that chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word steadfast is what stood out to me, what hit me first, and this is the first verse that I thought of last week when it came to me. Now, so I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Yeah, in this verse, of course, it begins with the word therefore. Of course, he's just covered thoroughly doctrine of the resurrection here. But I see the word therefore, and as we've been taught, you go back, keep backing up till you go and find out what it's there for. We can go all the way back to the first chapter of this book in the after his salutation here. But in the ninth verse, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. And he ends up back down here in this 15th chapter talking about the resurrection. It's, therefore, knowing all these things, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. So he lists some things out here. Be steadfast, unmovable, and also always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a verse of scripture, be not weary in well-doing. So in this, though, I thought about, we can do this. We're always armed and equipped with just, as I covered last Sunday on our contentment and satisfaction, godly satisfaction, that we're equipped to do that. I think in all the things that the Apostle Peter did and all the things that he went through in his trial of faith, of his faith, that he was equipped to do exactly what he needed to do in service to God as a minister of the gospel, as an apostle of Lord Jesus Christ. And God will not find anywhere where he would have us to do something in our lives and yet not tell us how to do it, in what way to do it, what to, I go back to the whole armor of God and so forth, and everywhere he equips us to do it, or else we just fail. And yet, I know I still fail, that the picture that Brother Jeff painted about being flicked on the ear and all, that's happened to me. It hurts. And that's and what you went to was exactly what I always go to, is that, well, that means that God still cares for me, loves me, and has something in store for me. If I never felt that pain, I'd question that. He gives us what we need. It may not be in words, but within your spirit communing with his spirit, he tells us, and yet reminds us what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. Don't take that upon ourselves, but only what he gives us here. So we're being told to do these things here. Now, but in that, I'm going to go to the book of Daniel, the sixth chapter of Daniel. And begin here and then go back to that verse in 1 Corinthians in a moment. Daniel, the sixth chapter, 25th verse says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. So God is steadfast, and that's what When I fail to follow the Apostle Paul's teaching there in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 58th verse, when I am moved, we are not immutable. We change. The world changes. God does not. He does not change. He is steadfast. And so Paul tells us to be ye steadfast. But here it says that he is the living God and steadfast forever. He is. And so we're given the knowledge of that, and so that gives us strength, because God Almighty, Jesus Christ, is our rock, and he is steadfast, and he's accomplished certain things of which we've been, had them revealed to us in our lives. And so then we're even better equipped to be steadfast and unmovable. in laboring in the work of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ and of God. Is how we're taught there. And so he is steadfast, and he is the living God, God of Daniel. It's in Hebrew. I believe it's also the sixth chapter. In Hebrews, the sixth chapter as well. Hebrews, yes, chapter 6. Using the word really, and just right here, this immutability of God. Sixth chapter of Hebrews, the 17th verse, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we have the knowledge, we can look back or look at currently, the knowledge that we have in that God has done this, willing more abundantly to show that, and that we are heirs of promise. So we have that to base our steadfastness upon. We have the steadfastness of God Almighty to place that on. That's our strength there. When everything else fails, and again in Brother David's prayer, he mentioned the things that we find to prop ourselves up with, and yet they're knocked out from under us so often, and it reminds us who is holding us up and where our hope lies, and so this is something that I need each and every day. I do need to be reminded to be content and have godly contentment and satisfaction. Although I can do without probably as many text messages reminding me of doing that from certain people throughout the week. But, I don't normally have to be told. Sometimes I have to be knocked in the head and gotten my attention. But I usually know that I need to be doing this, this, and this. And so then when someone tells me that I should be doing that, which they should. We should do that with one another in love and kindness. But I already knew that. Well, if I'm not doing it, maybe I needed to be reminded of that. Goes back to what Brother Jeff was saying and being reminded of these things. But we're blessed to look back in the, and base our steadfastness, our being unmovable on the knowledge of what Christ has done for us in our life. So we have that. Then he says, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we're placed on our rock, Jesus Christ. We know that God is steadfast. We can place our steadfastness on His and call upon Him. We can look back at the knowledge that we have been given through God in Jesus Christ, and then we look forward to the hope that we have in the resurrection in that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So he's given us all of that, and yet we're still, even I noticed this morning, as I already had this on my mind, reading the poems that we're singing and some of the verses, parts of the phrases that pointed to how we're shaken from time to time. And yet I hope that I, at any point in my life, I cannot remember a time when Satan had such a hold on me that he would almost convince me that Jesus Christ did not die for my sins, for every one of them. I've been blessed to hang on to that. And that's not a minor thing. Because there are those that question and have questioned to me audibly, verbally, that they questioned it, that did God, did Jesus Christ die for every single one of the sins I've committed, which some of them may have been pretty bad. But he did. I don't want to question the power of God and the love of Christ. He did that. And then so now we are told to be steadfast, unmovable, but also always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we get into that mode. I do. I do become weary. I cannot cast criticism upon those people of Israel there that the prophet Malachi was prophesying to, where the God tells them through Malachi that you say that I have wearied you. God had wearied the people there and the priesthood at that time. And so we can get bogged down in that. And yet God is merciful. I've seen in this week, I saw where going through and experiencing things, or maybe thinking of the things that other people we're experiencing this week or any other time in the losses of loved ones and so forth, but even in that, he gives us the stability that we need in our lives. And it's in as a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that he set up in that knowledge of the gospel. And we'll see more of that in a moment. Now in Colossians, the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Somewhere around the 20th verse or so, right in there, he brings to our minds again here, Jesus Christ having, in the 20th verse, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And then he says, and you that were sometime alienated, yet now he hath he reconciled. So he's reminding us of that. So in being ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that's our position right now. We have been, we are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. We have that, and so that's a strengthening, a comfort there in the gospel that he has done that. That's where we are. Now, trying to get through this world not realizing that, that's hard. That's hard. And there are many children of God that have not had that revealed to them in fullness, that Jesus Christ has done that. They will be right there in heaven just as we will. We're not earning any better place in heaven in always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's for here and now. And to be steadfast, unmovable. And so we have this knowledge. So we are fixed. We are steadfast and unmovable, having that knowledge. And then it says in the 23rd verse, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled. Settled means steadfast. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So he goes from the knowledge that we have, that, and we still, the whole time also, we know that God is and will forever be steadfast. He is fixed and immutable, unchangeable is what that means. And so we have that knowledge. Then we realize, then we were in the position of being risen in Christ. So that's where we are. And then he points us immediately in this, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, but and looking to the hope of the gospel And so there's our hope. And so what? And maybe the percentage, the level that I need in these three things. Looking back to the knowledge of where I am, what Jesus Christ did for me. That God is steadfast and unmovable and unchangeable, and then looking to the hope of the resurrection. Then there's different levels. How much do I need of each of those right now, of whatever I'm going through? Maybe I need a full dose of all of it. But he knows. That still small voice comes to us and speaks to us and gives us comfort in whatever we're going through. If I'm questioning whether or not I'm even a child of God, if I'm in sorrow for someone who is now no longer with us, and yesterday at Larry's funeral, the minister that performed that service then mentioned some of the strengths that we have in comforting one another in our lives. So here we have, we look at back at the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. We look at the steadfastness of God, and then we look toward the future with hope in the resurrection here. I believe it's 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3. One of these epistles written by the Apostle Peter, third chapter, 2 Peter. He says in the, he talks about in the 10th verse, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And he's talking toward the last day at this point, and pointing them with hope, preaching the same gospel that the Apostle Paul did. So he's talking about that. Then in the 11th verse, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So in doing these things, we can connect today's message, sermon, of being steadfast and unmovable to last Sunday in being content with godly contentment and satisfaction, in that we have this peace, undisturbed peace. That's what contentment is. And again, I am the one that I want to, and so many places I've found, and I've tried to bring these out, that give a literal list of things that you do to accomplish these things, or to satisfy this condition here in time that we're to have, because he loves us. And I love the fact that Jesus Christ did not come in secret to die for our sins, save us from our sins, go away, and we never knew anything about it. He didn't do that. God loved us so much that he's revealed this unto us. He looks then, he starts out, seeing all these things, and that they shall be dissolved, looking for, and he said, and then in the 13th verse, look for, that ye may be found, and then look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, because Jesus Christ has placed us there. That's our condition now, and we're caused to think upon those things, put you in remembrance of those. That's all a minister is to do. I should not worry about any certain length of sermon. I know someone I know would talk about, well, a preacher shouldn't just get up and fill the stand, just fill that time. No, you preach what's on your heart, what God blesses you to preach, and make the point, and you sit down, and yet we don't have to be concerned with, we need to look above of what God gives us in the message to give to you as ministers, which is what they did even in the apostles' time. Now, I want to begin to wrap this up. I'm going to go to Job. I think it's Job, the 11th chapter. Yes, Job chapter 11. And if you wonder where Job is, it's right ahead of Psalm. Psalms are pretty big. You can usually find that and back up. But in Job chapter 11, 13th verse, let's get a couple of verses here. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand. So here's the specific instructions. Here's my list. Here is a simple, logical list of things of which I will quickly fail at doing, but I'm willing to admit that and to keep working on it. Because in these things, we have peace with God. We have peace, satisfaction, and contentment. Oh, over everything. What is it in this world that can happen that Jesus Christ has not or cannot overcome? There's nothing because he has overcome the world. John 16:33. So I believe I went to last Sunday. And so he's already overcome it. He blesses us to overcome it. And yet we're told time and time again to look to him, to point to him, to glorify him. And if we do that, that is conditional of the peace that we have in our lives here. I'm frustrated with myself when I don't do these things. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. I've struggled with what you described, Brother Jeff, and going back and forth. And then that same fear, it's like you were reading my mind this morning with your comments. And I'm afraid, okay, I'm going to get stuck in that. I don't want to get stuck in that condition. And then pretty soon I'm not. He's brought me out of it and shown me again. And he's made within me a clean heart. Because I am one of his children eternally. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Yes, we're sinful creatures, but we don't abide in sin. We fight that. We battle that for the peace. When I'm so anxious, worried, and whether it's daytime, nighttime, in the middle of the night, then I am placing my hopes on things that have propped me up and are being kicked out from under me. And so I need to go back to, and there's the peace again. And sometimes it takes a while. God knows just how long I may need to suffer at some chastisement before I realize he is the love and peace and contentment in my life. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. There's about a lot of shalts in there. So if you do these things, then this will happen. There's a complete, nice, neat list right there of what to do. So I hope that I can remember whatever time from now that I'm going through something else, then I'll remember what to do. And I do. I know that because he's written it in our hearts. He's written it in our hearts, so we already know that. We don't have to go and find a list. I know you know that. But it's here. It's throughout God's Word. So we have these specific instructions, these things to do. Now in Psalm 146, Psalm 146, and then I've got one other place to go and I'll close. Psalm 146, I was going to skip down, but I might as well get two extra verses here. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So those are two good verses there. Praise the Lord. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. And that's something else. If someone came up and just quoted that verse to me, my reaction, well, I know that, but I forget it. It grows weak. I grow weak in my misery, as Job, it was talking about over there in Job, his quote-unquote comforter there talking to him. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he. So if I am truly happy, if I am content, if I am satisfied, if I'm not miserable, then happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. If that's who I've gone to, we're going to have happiness in spite of ourselves, in spite of someone else, whose hope is in the Lord his God, whose hope, that hope in the resurrection that the Apostle Paul was telling us to look to, and the Apostle Peter, looking for that hope, for that day. Look toward that to get through something right now. We look to that resurrection hope, the Thessalonians had a problem with that. They did not believe in that, and so Apostle Paul had to write to them there at that church. David writes this, this happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord of God. Now, 1 Chronicles 16, and I'll close. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. A new paragraph thought starts in the 7th verse where it says, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord. Then in the 8th verse, he begins, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, or glorifying God, make known, giving thanks and calling upon his name. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. There's a lot of seeking. We are to eschew evil and ensue peace is what we're to do. From the New Testament. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. We're to do that. If I'm doing that and always abounding in the work of the Lord and not becoming weary in well-doing and laboring in His name, then I immediately think of my selfishness and wanting the result of doing these things. But that's what we're to do, to eschew all these other things. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. This sovereign God Almighty, and yet comes down and communes with us and grants us peace, contentment, satisfaction. and causes us to be steadfast and unmovable. And yet I'm all over the place. I can't settle, and it's difficult. And then to the point, Satan can kind of finally convince you almost that, well, just give it up. You're not going to be able to nail this down, so just give it up. And then if that doesn't do the trick, then Satan will say, well, you're a child of God. You're fine. You don't have to do these things. He'll discourage you in whatever way that he can, and we should not succumb to that. Be steadfast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If I'm doing that, then I don't have time to be moved and to not be fixed and steadfast. I don't have time for that. If I work and I do the things that were written right there in Chronicles of those things, in seeking Him, we do that in all that we do. So I don't apologize for seeing trying the spirits in things going on, in what things to do. I think God blesses us, and we should seek God in everything that we do in our lives and every action that we take. We should seek Him. And pray that He'll make within us a clean heart and continue to serve Him and proclaim His wonders, His sovereignty, and then His mercy and His grace. When He has mercy on me, I'm so thankful for His grace that He abundantly bestows upon us, because we don't deserve to be given these things, but yet He's given us these things that we would be steadfast in service to Him. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer. We'll sing a song now. Open the doors of the church. If anyone has desire to join you, let us know. And then for those of you who would like, we'll shake one another's hands.